Adventures in Research. Millions of years of superheat, of stresses and strains that dwarf the atomic age, go into the production of one shiny item that finds its resting place on the third finger, left hand of some young lady. Yes, that diamond. Ever wonder where it came from, how it got there, and why a piece of shiny carbon is so valuable? This is the story of the fabulous mineral. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you a story of diamonds, one of men's most precious and sought-after minerals. This story could have its beginning any instant a rather starry-eyed young man stumbles into a jewelry store and...
yes, sir. And what can I do for you?
I'm interested in a diamond.
Ah, yes, a diamond right over here. For yourself, sir.
Huh? Oh, no, it's for Jeannie.
I see, sir. Uh-huh. Congratulations are in order, I gather. Well, isn't that nice?
Same to you.
Eh?
I mean, well, you see, I don't know nothing about diamonds or anything like that. And well, that is, you see, it's going to be a surprise for Jeannie. We got a date tonight, and after the movies, I'm going to... Well, that is...
Yes?
How much are they?
Well, there's a considerable price range, sir. It would depend on what you had in mind. There are diamonds as low as $50 and as high as... Mr. McLean paid $300,000 for the Hope Diamond. However, I would say that on the average, depending on the cutting and mounting, the average engagement ring is about one-third carat and runs about $400.
Willikers, $400? $400 for just a little bit of stone like that?
Well, sir...
Excuse me, sir. You got a phone?
Right over there, sir. But if you'll...
I'm gonna call Jeannie.
To get her opinion? An excellent idea, sir.
Opinion, nothing. I'm telling her our date's off.
I suppose you're asking yourself the same question our embarrassed friend was. Why is a diamond so expensive compared with most other gems? Well, for a good many reasons. But before we try to get the diamonds out of the diamond mine, let's find out how they came to be in the first place.
One theory suggests that many millions of years ago, deep within the earth, a certain type of basic igneous rock existed. This rock was attacked by chemicals. Solutions poured over it, turned it into a dark bluish-green mineral. Now, any particles of carbon that chanced to get into this mixture were turned into crystals under the tremendous heat and pressure underground. Then, over a period of, say, another million years, this seething, boiling mass worked its way up to the surface of the earth, pushed by volcanic pressures. Then the mass cooled. More millions of years passed. Rains nibbled off the flanks of the mass, formed ancient rivers, and picked up these specks of crystallized carbon. At most places, diamonds are found in these alluvial deposits, far from where they must have been formed.
But strangely enough, the great bulk of the world's diamonds do not come from these ancient riverbeds at all. They come from huge funnels called pipes, filled with a special kind of blue rock. These are the fabulous South African mines, the Kimberley mines, Jagersfontein, 80 miles to the south, the Premier Mine, 300 miles eastward. Let us talk to the surface manager of the Premier Mine, Mr. Dunbar. Mr. Dunbar, how do they know where to find a diamond mine?
Well, they don't for certain. But when they find a volcano site with blue ground around it, they start drilling. Now, most of the time, they find nothing more valuable than you'd discover in your own backyard. But sometimes they discover a vein like this.
Well, when they do, how do they get the diamonds out?
A vertical shaft is sunk near the pipe. Horizontal tunnels are driven into the pipe at different levels. From these, a network of tunnels penetrate the blue ground. This is removed, allowing the debris above to settle into the area. This gradually forms a huge crater as the rock is removed below.
And the blue ground yields the diamonds.
Right. The blue ground is spread out to weather and disintegrate. Then it is washed, the heavy material concentrated, and the diamonds removed. The blue ground, well, it's rock, actually, may be hoisted up as much as 3,600 feet to the surface. There's a great deal of rock with only a small amount of diamond. In fact, the rock removed weighs 320 million times as much as the diamond. Well, some of these men have worked for us as long as 30 years without ever seeing a diamond.
I suppose that's the big dream, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It was right here at the Premier Mine back in 1905 that Fred Wells and a young friend were making his routine inspection one evening. He was working his way along the 18-foot level.
Yep, young fella. Been in diamonds all my life. Been surface manager at this mine since it was opened.
Golly, Mr. Wells. You ever find any real big diamonds?
Well, we've done right well. Oh, you mean me, personally?
Yeah.
Well, now, big diamonds just don't drop into your hand, young fella. No, sir, they don't do that. But I keep hoping, you know.
Well, what's the biggest diamond anybody ever found?
Oh, there's been quite a few of them. Let's rest here for a minute. Biggest so far is the Excelsior. A native found it at Yagersfontein while loading a truck. 969.5 carats it was. You know how big that is? Why, that weighed near a half pound. Most famous diamond, I guess, was the Kohinoor. It was found a long time ago. And they said that whoever owned it ruled the world. When it turned up in 13-4, it was valued at half the daily expense of the entire world. Would you believe it?
Golly. Well, how many big diamonds are there like that?
Oh, not many, young fella. Not many at all. Less than 20 diamonds over 100 carats in the whole world. And when you stop to figure...
What's the matter, Mr. Wells? What you looking at?
Nothing. Guess the boys are having their little joke again.
A little joke?
Yeah. They heard me talk about maybe finding a big diamond someday, so every once in a while they hide a piece of broken bottle around on a ledge, figuring to have some fun with me. Figure I'll get all head up and make a fool out of myself.
Well, I don't see nothing funny about that.
Well, take a look. See where I'm pointing? Up on that ledge up there. See?
No, not... Oh, yeah. I see it now.
Yeah, darn fool didn't even hide it well. Right out in plain sight like that wouldn't fool a rhinoceros.
Well, what you gonna do, Mr. Wells?
Oh, as long as they want to have fun and pull my leg, I might as well play along with them. I'll just take it in with me and maybe have some sport.
Great.
Guns of nice.
What's the matter, Mr. Wells?
Why, it ain't no piece of broken glass. It's a diamond. The biggest diamond in the whole blamed world.
In almost plain sight, this large diamond lay. The biggest diamond in the world. 3,106 carats. Nearly 1.5 pounds in weight. Over three times larger than the largest diamond ever discovered before. This tremendous find was named the Cullinan Diamond in honor of the president of the company, and it was valued at $73 million. Fred Wells, the man who reached up and plucked the diamond from the rocks, received his reward, $10,000. The diamond was purchased by the Transvaal government and given to King Edward VII as a birthday present, and a peculiar birthday present it was.
Then, Your Highness, you actually saw the great diamond? It must be fabulous.
All that and more. Some gift indeed. It's kept in a vault. When I asked to see my own diamond, I had to pay the insurance to have it brought here from the Bank of England. It cost me £150 just to look at it.
But this diamond, valued at $73 million, was still unfinished. To make from it a thing of beauty requires considerable scientific skill. It must be cut and shaped and polished to bring out its true beauty. In 1908, it was decided to cut the great Cullinan Diamond, the most remarkable task of its kind ever attempted. In Amsterdam, experts studied the great raw diamond, traced its markings, and tried to outline its stresses. For one blow with a mallet must break it, not into smithereens, but along certain planes to yield smaller, perfect diamonds. If the blow isn't right, you have shattered $73 million into nothing. So you can imagine with what concern and expectancy the experts gathered in 1908. After 9 months of work and study, on the table before them lay the great, uncut Cullinan diamond.
That's Asher over there, the man who's going to cut the diamond.
Wouldn't have his job for $1 million. If he doesn't strike it true, there isn't a second chance. And poof, there goes your diamond. It is huge, isn't it?
Oh, biggest diamond anywhere. And if he cuts it right, the value of the stones from it will be even greater. Now, he's supposed to...
Shh! Are you ready, Mr. Asher?
Yeah, I am ready. Check the vise, please. The diamond, she is held firm.
Good luck, Mr. Asher. I hope... I don't have to say it.
Thank you. We have studied it for months. The blow must be struck here, and the diamond should fall apart into 5 fragments.
Silence now, everybody. Mr. Asher is ready to proceed.
What's he hit it with? That knife?
No, no. He uses the knife blade like a chisel. See? He's lining it up along that mark he's drawn on the diamond. Then he hits the knife with that rod and...
What happened?
Well, the knife blade broke. The diamond didn't budge.
You mean he's got to do it all over again?
Shh. Look at the perspiration on his forehead. He's dripping wet. He's going to try it again.
Perfect! Perfect, Mr. Asher. 5 parts. Wonderful. Permit me to congratulate you.
It was nothing at all.
Oh, Mr. Asher, help somebody. He's fainted.
After cleavage, the famous Cullinan diamond was cut and polished into 9 large stones. The largest is a pear-shaped specimen of 516 and a half carats and is now set in the royal scepter of England. No, you certainly won't find it for sale at your jewelry shop. But what about the diamonds you do see for sale?
Well, today's standard brilliant diamond has 58 facets, all cut to the most exacting proportions and polished on a diamond polishing wheel. We use olive oil and diamond dust as the cutting agent. The brilliance of a diamond depends upon the amount of light reflected from its facets. If you should try to count them and come across an extra pair, well, that means the cutter saw a chance to mirror more light and make a more brilliant stone.
Of course, a large proportion of all diamonds are used industrially to turn machine parts, to draw wire, to cut glass, to true grinding wheels. Engineers use diamonds to stud their bits and saws when they drill and cut through rock. And dentists like diamonds for drills. Yes, diamonds have 1,001 uses. But most important, perhaps, is the simple fact that the diamond is to be worn. Possibly all the good, sound reasons we have mentioned for the value of diamonds are trivial compared to this one great imperishable truth of human nature. We like things that shine, and nothing shines like a diamond. Except, perhaps, the light in her eyes when she gets one. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to Armed Forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.